It's a real weapon.
It's a hammer and all.
Okay. So, we're coming right off of Nassim's Yartzai, Baruch Hashem, in Tekoa. We had an incredible event hosted by Rav Yehuda Hanekman here. It was really something special. And for myself, the Baruch Hashem, I've been learning Likutei Halachos for a little bit now and learning the biographical information that we learned in Chaim Aran. But when you sit and you really go through it, keseder, and you walk it through, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's on SoundCloud to anybody who wants to connect with Rav Nassim in that way. I walked out feeling very connected. We were talking about it in the car on the way back. Like, it's a different thing. You learn the Torah of a tzaddik is one thing, you know, but when you learn the Torah of his life, the Torah of his everyday interactions, the Torah of who he was, it's a different thing. So over there we introduced this niggun that I had heard for the first time a few days ago on a recording, a rare recording, I believe, from Rav Shlomo Kalbach. And I've just been singing it ever since. It goes like this. Diddy la 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 la.
La 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 la.
Azeh Hashem. It's good to be back to continue our limud, fresh off, like I said, fresh off the yahrzeit mamish. So to learn the words of the tzaddik, you know, at least the week, the whole week that the yahrzeit is in is saturated with the spirit of the tzaddik. That's pasha that way. And so even though we're past the yahrzeit, but we're very much still in the yahrzeit, and every word of the tzaddik and every breath that he took is shining. Every breath that he took and released in terms of his Torah teachings, in terms of his writing, is shining, mamish to infinity. So, Meretz Hashem, we're going to continue. And again, Likutei Halachos is written in such a way that it just sort of flows. It flows. It's just a lot of repetition and just, it's like an ocean, you know? So we're just going to try and push through. And we did a lot last time. We'll do a lot this time. And Meretz Hashem, we're going to try and push ahead. Okay, so we begin. I don't know what page it is because it doesn't have numbers, but it says on it 2-5. So if you see 2-5, it's of a Zevachinas Vaichalik Aleim. You see it? Okay, so here he says like this. V'zebuchinas, everything that we've been discussing until now, the past 8 weeks or so, unbelievable schos that we had. V'yichalik aleim anemar ba'avram. So it says about Avram Avinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, split the night. Ba'avram ba'esha radaf as ha-malachim, and the time that he was running after the malachim. The kings, the five kings that were fighting against Avram Avinu, that Avram smote the five kings almost single-handedly. It says, V'yichalik aleim alayla. The night split. The night was split. And he says, what does that mean, the night was split? Says the Heiliger of Nassim, that's exactly what we've been talking about with regard to Tikkun Chatzos. Why it's so important for a Jew to wake up and express his emunah dafka b'toikef halayla in the darkness, in the midst of his sleep, to be able to rise to a new level of consciousness and to reveal that a Jew is able to connect to hashkacha, to break the tokef, the strength, and the extra influence of the nighttime by waking up Chatzos. And he says that's what happened over here. Avram Gilash Kachasi is Baruch Ba'olam. Avram Avinu was the one that at the age of three, Avram Hikir is Bayre. He understood that there must be a Baal Habira, there must be a master of this palace that seemed to have been in flames, which is the world that looked like it was just burning, mamish burning. And is there a Baal Habira? Is there somebody running this show? Is this a controlled test? And indeed, he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yalkein Iker Kiyum Tol Shamayim Ba'aretz Ha'idei Avram. And therefore, because we've described before that, of course there's Teva. And of course the way that we perceive the world, we talked at length, there's Teva, there's the seven days of the week, the whole Indian of seven is Teva, it exists. But what's the Neshama for the Teva? So we talked about how Bina, right, that world of eight, that world of Lemala Me'at Teva, is so to speak the Neshama for the Guf of Teva. So if you and I have a body, which in itself is a body, but the truth is that it's battle to the aura of the neshama that animates it, that gives it life, right? It's like a car. If you don't have a driver, so it's a nice car, but it's not going to get you anywhere, right? If you have somebody inside that's running the show, then it's mamash, it animates the whole thing. So that's what's going on over here. It says Rav Nassim, of course there's shemayim and aretz, but with what was heaven and earth created? What animates heaven and earth? What animates teva? Says the Heiliger Gemara, that he's quoting over here, Eila Talda Shemayim Ba'aretz Bihid Baram. The Pasuk says, these are the chronicles of heaven and earth Bihid Baram when they were created. Says the Medrash, Ba'Avraham. The words Bihid Baram can be switched around, the letters can be rearranged to read Be'Avraham, which would then read, Eila Talda Shemayim Ba'aretz. These are the chronicles of heaven and earth Be'Avraham, which were, again, Bihid Baram, which were created, but Be'Avraham. So he's explaining why. Because what's the whole Indian of Avram? Avram is Megalash Gechasiyiz Barach. Avram brings down to the world that there's a master of the world that's animating everything. So of course there's Teva, of course there's Shemayim and Ares, but what's the Neshama? Behid Baram, the Indian of Avram, that Avram brings down and reveals Hashkach in the world, by Echalak Aleim Alaylo, the Indian of Chatzos, the Indian of breaking the darkness of the night and the darkness of the lack of consciousness of sleep to wake up to this unbelievable reality that the world is shining, that the world is full of animation, the world is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everywhere we look, every breath we take, every person we meet is bursting with life. And that's the neshama, the mamala me'ateva. Ki hu gila hashkachasi yizbarach, because Avram Avinu brought to the world, to the fore, this hashkacha of Hashem ba'olam in the world, she'ikar kiyum ba'olam ha'idei zeh, because this is mamash what sustains the world, what animates the world, what brings it to life. V'yal kein therefore, ho'ele koyach la'Avram, that's why Avram had this ability, l'chalikas ha'layla, to divide in the night, not just that he divided the troops or other pshatim and perushim of that pasuk, but Avram Avinu has this ability by chalik aleim alayla to split the night, to break the night. What's the night? Dain l'shabras alayla. Shezabuchinas bitalat teva, that the night time, the darkness of night, is a lack of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's revelation, which is darkness, which is teva, which is just dry, cold, natural nature. Buchinas kimas chatzos, which is also related to the inin of waking up of chatzos, like we discussed at length last week. And how do, I'm sorry, the four malachim, not the five malachim. Then he subjugates and has a war and has a battle and emerges victorious in fighting with the forces of the four malachim. What's the union of the four malachim? Says the Heilger of Nasan, Sheimachinas Dalad Malchuyas Kamuva, because we know Rabim Kamim Alai, the David Malach says until him, many have risen against me, and Rabim is Rosh HaTeva, is Roimin, which is Rome, Bavel, Yavan, and Madai, right? The four Gullisin. Rabim Kamim Alai. So there are classically four malachim, the Adalad Malchus, the Sitra Achra, the four Malchuyas, the four kingdoms that are the Hepech of Malchus of Kedusha. Because the truth is, and this is discussed at length in Mirtz Hashem, the new book that will be coming out, we hope, near Purim time, Sunlight of Redemption, at length we talked about over there that that there's a Dalit of Kedusha and there's a Dalit of Tuma. And this has mamashot to do with what we're talking, so I'm just going to go off topic for a second, but it's very, very related. It's very related. It's like spoiler alert because, you know, the book is so sweet that the Torah is so deep there. You know, this is a portion of that. So Chazal say, Ki b'ka Hashem suri lamim. Hashem created the world with ka, with yud and a hey. Right? The simple understanding of Chazal, say Chazal. What's ka Hashem suri lamim? Hashem created the world with yud ke. Say Chazal. With a yud, Hashem created olam haba. With a hey, Hashem created olam hazeh. So it's beautiful. That's it. Arkan. With a yud, olam haba is a yud, and olam hazeh is a hey. And we talked about last time why olam hazeh is a hey, right? It could fall at the bottom, at the climb on the top. The Gemara Menachos. But it's so much deeper. Because the truth is, that every hey, we know the Mekubalim discussed that the letters, although they have a certain shape as we see them, but the truth is that within the shape of a given letter, you can find many other hidden letters. Right? So for example, a aleph, you could have a aleph as a vav in the middle and two yuds, right? Or you could have a vav and a yud and then a dalid on the bottom, right? The nukuda tachton of the yud could also be a dalid. Different iterations of the different letters within the letters as we see them. And all this hints to very, very deep concepts. So if I'm gonna ask you, what is a hey? What two letters do you see in a hey? On the most simple understanding, there's more, but what's the simplest thing?
A resh.
A resh? Okay, but what would you say really is a dalet, right? It looks like a resh. A dalet and a yud? A dalet and a yud, right? Olam Hazeh is a dalet and a yud. So what's the secret of that? What's the secret of the dalet and the yud, the two components of Olam Hazeh? So it has very much to do with what we're discussing now. Because on the one hand, the dalet, which is spelled Dalid, Lamid, Yud, Taf. That's how you spell the word Dalid. Most people say Dalid with a Dalid at the end, but it's really a Taf. So this word Dalis, which is really how you pronounce it, the Zohar HaKadosh explains that this letter Dalid is related to the sphere of Malchus. Why? Because Malchus is a sphere that we discussed, I think, two shiurim ago, the 10th spheros. Malchus is the lowest, and it is the Mekabel, the ultimate receiver, that it receives everything that all the other godliness that's channeled through all the other spheros comes down into Malchus. So says the Zohar Kadosh, Malchus is called Dalid. Why? Dilesla Megarmi Klum. Because the word Dalid, which is Dalis, can also spell the Aramaic word Diles, which means it has none. Dilesla. It has nothing Megarmi Klum. It has nothing of its own. It's empty. It's devoid of any.
I say Dala.
Huh?
Dala.
Dala. Dal, right? It's poor, right? Dilesla Megarmi Klum. It also has to do with Daitim Shanashim Kala, right? Because the sphere of Malchus is the feminine sphere, and it's missing this Indian of Das, right? It's missing its Dal, right? Ain ani element of Das, Gemara say in the Darim. Okay, so this is Malchus, and all it has is what it receives from the upper spheres. So it emerges an amazing thing. If Olam Haba is created with a Yud, and Olam Hazeh Beikar is a Dalid, because I'll say that Olam Hazeh is what is a Hey. So what comes out is an amazing thing. Olam Hazeh is not really a hey. Olam Hazeh, in terms of the physical counterpart, is a dalid, the less lamagami klum. It's like the car without a driver. It's like the body without a soul. The yud within the dalid of Olam Hazeh, or within the hey, is the yud of Olam Haba. Mm-hmm. Is the yud of Olam Haba. Meaning to say, and that's mamash what we're talking about over here, that shining within the 7 days of the week, within the seven of Teva, is the Olam Haba of Bina. That animates this world. Meaning to say, and this is the ultimate revelation of Torah Aleph in the first place, that the whole thing, it's called Sunlight of Redemption, is that a person can gain Geula Prati, his own personal Geula, to break into a world of Olam Haba. How? If he has the correct eyes to be able to perceive from within the Dalit of the Les Lamagami Klum, which is the Dalit Malchus of Sitra Acha, which we're going to get to in a minute, if he could perceive the Yud, the Olam Haba that exists in this world itself, by virtue of Emunah, by virtue of developing those eyes, those spiritual oriented eyes, to be able to see the godliness in everything, to be able to perceive the godliness in the food that we eat, to make brachas properly, which is Ayidei HaTorah. Right, the Torah trains us how to have these eyes, to be able to look at the godliness in people, the chule, and so on.
Which also is the spells Yad, which is also the Chavchas Perkin, which is
it's all in there. It's mamash all in there. With this Torah, with the Yud and the Dalet, you can, this is mamash Kol HaTorah Kula. You can see it on every page in Gemara, on every pasuk in Nach. Mamash. So this is the whole inin of Yad, of Yud, of Dai, of Yehudi. It's a whole Mirtz Hashem, Hoda'ah. So says the Heliger of Nachman in Torah Aleph, he says that the Dalid, which could be a Malchus de Kedusha, when it's animated with the unity of Olam Abba, which comes down and sort of unifies all of the disparate parts, because again, Dalid on its own is the Les Lamegami Klum, meaning it's, what do we say about Purit? It's Din. Din is Purit, separation. Where I can look at something and I don't see exactly what unifies it. For example, if I look at a car and I didn't know that it's for the purpose of serving a human being to get from point A to point B, it looks like a bunch of parts. It's a bunch of disparate parts. Meaning, unless I see the thing that's unifying them all by virtue of, they all come together to serve this purpose. If they don't have a purpose to serve, so it's all disparate. So even though they might be put together, I'm talking conceptually, what do these things have in common? Meaning, what are these things? They need to be bound by a common goal. So I can look at Olam Hazeh on the level of, okay, it's disparate. Everything seems to be, all of history, all the eras, everything that's happening seems to be disconnected. But if I perceive the unifying light of Olam Haba, which we said is the Tachlis, that everything is going toward the Tachlis, which is Kula Tayyib Kula Yachad, so that Mamela, that light shines back down into our reality to say, everything's unified. Even though we're not in the place of unity now. We're not in the place of Olam Haba, of Kula Tayyib Kula Yachad. But if I could perceive from within the Dalit, which is four separate Inyanim, which is the Malchus of Sitra Acha, which again we're going to get to in a minute, but if I can perceive from within that, the light of Olam Haba that animates it, so already I can see the unity. That's the goal. That's the tachlis. Kula tayyib kula yachad. But since malchus is beikar devoid of any unifying element, so when a Jew does not know how to approach this world on the level of connecting it to the hey, which is the yud and the dal together, and all he sees is dalid, that's embodied in the four malchuyos of sitra achra, which is dalid, deles, which is malchus, which becomes four kingdoms, right? Because malchus is gematria four. What are those four kingdoms? The exact opposite of Olam Haba. Trying to take us away from that Tachlis. Trying to be Meshabbatus, to take us away from Torah, to take us away from drawing close to the Tachlis, to the Tafkid, of the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's the secret of history. That's the secret of existence. That's the secret of Olam Hazeh and its two parts. So says Reb Nosson, when Avram Avinu is running after the four Malchus, you know what he's doing? He's vayachalik aleim alayli, splitting the night with Bihibaram, with Avram that animates creation, by drawing down the light of Ashkacha, and thereby, there's no Dalad Malchus to Sitra Achra. All there is a hey. Avraham, right? All there is a hey, from Avram to Avraham. Because Avram Avinu realizes that there's a balabira, that the world is on fire. But what does fire do? What does fire do? Fire separates. Fire separates. You take fire, you take something, and you burn something, what are you left with? Ashes, pure. Pure. That's what fire is. The midah of gevura is pure. That's why fire separates. What's the midah of chesed? Water. What does water do? It unifies. Right? I could have flour, and flour is separate. I pour water, I can make it into dough. That's the midah of chesed. Midah of eish, which is gevura, is pure. So Avram Avinu sees that what? That the palace, which is the world, is on fire. What does that mean, on fire? Pure, 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 everywhere he looks. It's ashes, ashes. Nothing seems to be connected to one unifying inyan. What do I need, though? I need a balabira. It's a balabira. Once I have the light of the balabira, which is this unifying light from beyond, so mamela, I say, okay, it serves a purpose. Everything that I see, all the different ashes of the world, of every single failure that every Jew ever went through in his own personal history, and the yiridus and aliyus, and the yiridus of Klal Yisrael throughout history, and all of the different iterations of all the different tzaddikim from each dar that were teaching Torah specifically for their generation, dar v'darshav. So although it looks disparate, and although it looks sometimes that it's falling apart, if there's a balabira, that means that someone's in control. That's the light from beyond. So therefore, Avram Avinu is dafka doing what? He's fighting the Dalid Malchus. Why? Because he's drawing into the Dalid the Inyan of Yud. And that's Bechatzos HaLayla. That it's splitting the night. Because what's the night time? The night time is the Dalid Malchus, devoid of any energy, devoid of any neshama. That's the site of what's
How's
happening.
How's Malchus Nuachir 4?
Because Dalet, we said, Dalet is Deles Lamegarmi Klum, but Dalet is 4. So the, from the word Deles...
Well, there are 4 Malchus?
The 4 Malchus, right, right. Rabin, Rome, Pavel, Yavan, and Madai. Right? So from the Dalet of Deles Lamegarmi Klum, which could be Malchus de Kedusha, Mamish, the highest, highest unified unified kingdom and sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from that, if you remove the unifying aspect, what are you left with? Dalet, Deles. That all it has is just 4 Malchuyas that are trying to do the exact opposite of that holy endeavor. And that's what Rav Nachman says. And again, I hope that everybody will get the books on out and to understand that Rav Nachman is revealing 2 different ways of looking at the world. And it's the same world. There are some people who can look at the world with the eyes of Malchus de Kedusha. And what they see around, they see a unified world. They see how everything makes sense, the history, the future. All of Torah is one, and it's unbelievable. God is shining from behind every corner of physicality. And there are some people who can look at the same world, but because they're not in tune with the Yud within the Dalet, all they see is Pirat. All they see is darkness. All they see is Teva. It's the same world. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world.
Chen v'chashivut, chashivut v'chen.
Chen v'chashivas, chashivas v'chen. Exactly right. Exactly right. That there's a chen that chashivas has, which is Sitra Achra, and there's a chashivas that chen has. That's the secret of Torah Aleph. But we're not learning Torah Aleph now.
Maybe we should.
Okay? V'az v'chniyah ha'dalet malachim. That's what Avraham Avinu is doing now. What's he doing? He's subjugating Dafka, the 4 Malachim, Sheimachinas, Dalet, Malchuyas, Kamuva, which each of them represents one of these 4 wicked kingdoms that are devoid of the light of Ashkacha, the light of godliness, as he reveals himself in the world, Kamuva. Because how do you get rid of these Dalet, Malchuyas, and Sitra Achra? Which means, not just how do you beat those kingdoms that are trying to kill us, you know, physicality. It means within ourselves. All of us are under the Shlita sometimes of the Dalet, Malchuyas, which push us and compel us to see the world as what? As devoid of any godliness. To live a life of chet. What's chet? Chet means that I'm off the path, right? So again, we discuss, why does a person do a chet? Because he's disconnected from the yashar path that's drawing me to the unity, right? A chet means I'm off. It means it's not part of it. In retrospect, sometimes I can look back and see how it was really also, the derech expanded itself to include that chet also, right? Lema freya, if I did tshuva enough, or tzadik, the ishbitzer, and so on. But that's what's going on over here. So we have that inside of us, which Rabbi Nachman, again, into our Aleph, places under the realms of Yaakov Avinu and Esav. Again, without spilling all the secrets of Torah Aleph already, nobody's going to buy the book. But this is Yaakov Avinu and Esav, because Yaakov's whole thing is what? Yaakov's whole thing is purchasing the Bechar from Esav. What's the Bechar? It's Rashis. We talked about that, right? We talked about that last time. The Inyan of Bechar is Rashis. Rashis Chachma. Yaakov Avinu is purchasing not just the Bechar, he's purchasing the intellect, the way of looking at the world on a level of Chachma, not to see just the external element, but to look inside. And think about it. What does Esau sell that very element for? Fleeting physicality. That's red, it's red, it's Adom, right? It's shining. It'll take a second, it'll last a second. Huh?
The Arg Dayo says that when he bought it, he was just Eitz HaChaim until that point. Then he brought in the Eitz HaDas, he brought in the Ra into the world instead as well.
Who did?
It's his world. Yaakov. When he bought the Bechor, he bought Esau's Chelik, he bought Ra as well.
And he elevated it. He was able to elevate it, to unify it, to show that even Esau's portion is part of the Ishtam Yoshevahom. And this is why Yaakov Avinu is Ochez, the Akev, Esau. Right? He's holding on to the Akev, to the ankle of Esau as he comes down. Because what's Esau, says Rashi? Why is his name Esau? Because Esau is Milashan Asui. He was already made. Esau came out completely hairy and the whole thing, with like an adult with teeth, all 9, right? Esav. Imagine such a thing. So, and the pasuk says, V'yadoi, the yad of Yaakov, is ochez b'akev Esav. It's holding on to the ankle of Esav. What's the ankle of Esav? If Esav is the olam asiya, is asui, so what's the ankle of Esav? It's like the lowest, most physical place within the most physical place, right? The most physical of the olam asiya, malchus de malchus de malchus of asiya. And what's holding on? What's Yaakov? What's his achiza in Malchus of Asiya? Yado. What's Yado? He hinted to it before. It's when you have the Dalet, but not just it's a hay that the Yud is like hidden in the Dalet. No, no, no. You extract it to the point that the first thing you see, Umalard's Deil Adas is Hashem, the first thing you see is the Yud. Yad is the first thing I see is the Yud. And then also there's physicality. But I see a world that's glittering, that's glowing. So the Yad of Yaakov, the Bechar, the Chachma, is holding on to the Achre, the Akeves, the lowest part of physicality. That's the union of Yaakov, you know. Yaakov and Esav. So all of us have inside of Yaakov and Esav. There's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. This is all of Yiddishkeit. Right, Mamash. The first Torah and the Pitramana, the whole Judaism. I tell people all the time, if I could only take one page from any sefer, I rip it out, Torah Aleph, and I take it to an island somewhere, and I'm okay. If I have Torah Aleph, Zel. That's all you need. Because everything else is Zil Gemar. Mamash. So therefore, V'alkein, and here we go back inside on the second line, V'alkein, al yidei shepagam, ma. Sha'amar, this that Avram Avinu was pagan, this that Avram Avinu made a blemish when he said, ma eda kerishana. That Avram Avinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seemingly a sort of pagam and amun on his very, very, very lofty level, to say, give me a proof that my children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael, which was also a pagam in Eretz Yisrael. We learned the source inside from Rabbi Nachman in one of the earlier shiur. Nigzar al yedei ze agalos ki pagam bahadas. So because of this comes galus. What's galus? Galus is a lack of das. So Avram Avinu says, but not eda. I don't have this das. I don't have this emuna that brings me to a place that even if I don't know intellectually, empirically, I believe it, and therefore I know it. Avramino says, "Bama eda, I'm lacking this connection to das through amuna." So what happens? Because of bama eda, his children have to go into galus because galus is a lack of das. Shubuchinas hashkacha, ki ikra das shubuchinas hashkacha, because that's what das means, is to be connected to the hashkacha, to be connected to the animating life force within physicality. Hashkacha is shubuchinas Eretz Yisrael. We said that Eretz Yisrael is this inyan of hashkacha. Shubuchinas tamid eini Hashem alekach abav, because that's the place where hashkacha is constantly, that we could feel it, we could perceive Hashem's presence here all the time, every second, every minute. Who knows what, you know, Rahman al-Islam, we should be saved, but how many enemies are rising up against us every split second, and Hashem is saving us, kaseder, things that we don't even know about, all the time in this land. Miracles after miracles after miracles. Every breath we take here is a miracle. Sitting here in peace and being able to learn on the land of our forefathers for the first time in 2,000 years is a miracle. It's a miracle. Kibshute. So that's the Indian of Eretz Yisrael, and Avraham Avinu, so to speak, on his level, was pogan in Eretz Yisrael. When he said, "Bama Eda, I don't believe that we're going to get Eretz Yisrael," which Eretz Yisrael's whole imin is emuna. So that means that in that second, he disconnected from Eretz Yisrael on the deepest level, both literally, because he said, "How do I know I'm going to inherit it, which is Eretz Yisrael?" But also the very act of not seemingly of his seeming inability to know is itself a disconnect from Eretz Yisrael, which is all about emuna. So therefore, so what happens to Avram? He falls into a very deep sleep. Because the whole Indian of sleeping, which is the whole Indian of the nighttime, which needs Tikkun Chatzos to break that aspect, is the Indian of Teva, and the Indian of Hepech of Emunah, Hepech of Hashkacha, only seeing Teva and not seeing the animated force, the unifying force from the world beyond. And then, this terrible awe falls on him. Because think about it, we discussed in a previous year how awesomely terrifying it is to live life that way. Baruch Hashem, we're all Yaakov Avinu Jews. Maybe not all the time, but most of the time, and at least some of the time every day, we're thinking about Hashem, at least with Davin and everything like that. That the Mishnah Berurah says, even the mitzvahs that are Trichas Kavanah, according to some opinions, if you're doing the mitzvah, that itself, implicit in there, is the Kavanah. Why else are you shloving Geshul to put on tefillin? You have some Kavanah, either consciously, subconsciously, but we're connected to this place that there's a deeper element of reality. So why else are you putting black boxes on your head that are made of leather? Like, what is that? Why are you doing that? There's no rational reason for it. Right? You don't gain anything from it. Now there are studies coming out that it helps with heart, and helps with heart problems, and the Chinese acupuncture, and all sorts of things like that. So maybe, but on a deeper level, I can't really tell you why I'm putting these black boxes on my head. It looks pretty funny, right? So, that means that we're a little bit Yaakov Avinu Jews, all of us. So that means that we are really disconnected from waking up in the morning. I can't even say it out of my mouth. In a godless world. Because Rav Nachman says that's possible. Hashem created that in the teva of the Bria, a person has bechira, the human experience is that you can choose to see a world of Dalit, not the less lamagami klum, it's malchus, but Hashem is filling it with his light. No. To see it, Dalit malchus is a trach. Can you imagine how awful that is? Can you imagine how awful, how terrifying that is? To exist, to take breaths in a world where nothing has meaning? Which is completely absurd, which things happen that have no meaning whatsoever. He says, this tardema that falls upon Avram, which is disconnect in the moment from emuna, from hashkacha, from belief, from connected, from connection to the soul of the world, results in this terrifying, terrifying fear. Which is included in this terrible fear is all of the gullias, that their whole union of the gullias is to try to get us disconnected from the das. Shemachinas tardema, this awesome slumber, bechinas choshech darkness, sheikras gabrusam, haidei chachmas ateva, haidei pekama hashkacha kunis kalel. So now we get into Pesach. Mamash, the depths of Pesach here. This is so remarkable, I'm telling you. Ay, ay, ay. You know, Rambam has a Torah in the beginning of Sichas Ram where he says, David HaMelech says, Ki ani adati ki gadol Hashem, adonino mekol elohim. Right, he says, I know that God is great, that our master is greater, Kigadol Hashem, Mikol Elohim, from all the other gods, Kilu, from all other powers. He says, Rav Nachman, a simple question, it's pretty presumptuous, you know? Ani Adati, I know God, I know that God is great, to the exclusion of everyone else. Yishai's father didn't know that God is great, all of his brothers didn't know that God is great, Shaul doesn't know that God is great, no, only Ani Adati. Says Rav Nachman, yes and no. No, in that David HaMelech did not have exclusive ownership of Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yes, in that David's knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was different from the next person's knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That each person, we're talking about this also, I think, maybe, in the car, I don't remember, I was just talking about it recently. Every person has his own idea. That every Jew has the ability, not I'm saying Ani Adati to the exclusion of you, and that your Ani Adati is the exclusion of me. But every single person in this room, by virtue of his own struggles and his own ups and downs and his own past and his own future and his own dreams and his own tchunas hanefesh, ani adati, the way that I know God is different than you know God. I hope. If it's not, then there's a problem. Right? It's a problem. Every person has to have this individual relationship. Otherwise, you're just floating around. So it's the same thing. I feel like it comes to Rav Nassim. I'm sure, like, you know, I have this, it's inexpressible, the feeling that I get when I'm learning these Torahs. What it does to my neshama is just unbelievable, because you see the inclusivity of everything, if that's a word nowadays. So you see the inclusiveness is probably a better word. You see the oneness of everything, you know? And it sets your heart aflame. And I'm sure everybody at the table has his own Ani Adati, Ani Odea, right? Everybody at the table has his own point of entry to this world of spirit, Mamish. And it's just amazing. You know, we started off in the beginning, if you remember, we were talking about how to get this Das. You know, how do you get the Das? And the answer is, this is the Moichan. This is it. This is it. Learning Torahs like this and connecting to Torah on this level fills you with das. It fills you with moichin. It's not this, you know, just like cross your legs and just feel God. Although that might also be possible. It's different. It's different. It's lucid knowledge, but it doesn't just remain knowledge. It comes down to the lab and it animates all of you. Your heart and your mind and your heart. And it's not to the exclusiveness of one or the other. Each of them is animated, and it's a fire. It's the pinnacle of Yadata Ayon, to know intellectually, Vashivosa Elovavacha, and draw it down to the place where your heart is set aflame. That's what our goal is. That's what Rabbi Nachman's goal is to give you Yiddishkeit on an experiential level, but not just on a subjective emotional level, which can be challenged by somebody who comes to you and says, oh, you think you experienced God? Prove it, right? You can't, right? Try to explain that experience to me. So maybe, who knows? It's a dimin. You know, Chabad is very busy with this. The people have dimyanis, you know? So I had a revelation. Who said? Who said? You're a Baal Dimyan. Who can prove that your revelation was a real revelation, right? But when it comes to Torahs like these, I'll give it over to you, and you'll also have it. I'll give it over to you. It's written on paper. Nassim wrote his heart on paper here. Meaning it's empirical in the sense that it's das, it's knowledge. We can teach it, we can discuss it, we can learn it. But at the same time, from that das, from that mayim that flows from the intellect down to the lev, our lev is set aflame from these holy waters. Right? It's a fire. So that to me, at least, is my own personal experience and opinion, but that to me is the most real experience. It's the most real. Of course, tefillah and everything else is different dveikus in different levels, but when you learn Torah like this, where it goes into your mind and you can process it and it makes sense and it's rational, but at the same time, you feel your heart aflame with it, that's where Yiddishkeit is at its finest. That's where I get to this das, ani yodea. It's clear to me, it's barur. I don't need any intellectual, philosophical proofs. I'll give you a little Reb Nassim, a little boost, you know, booster shot of Reb Nassim, a little vitamin pill of Likutei Halachos, and it's abundantly clear that this is the Emes L'Amitei, because everything is unified. Over centuries of learning Torah, of Torah study, of every single level, of every single area of Torah, of Shat Remes Trishin, so it's one, and that's not human. Humanity doesn't produce such a thing, such a oneness. It's impossible. So Ashrenu. So let's go back there. Zebuchinas Achilas Matzah V'Isser Chametz. And this is what it means that there's an isser to eat matzah. I'm sorry, there's an isser to eat chametz, and there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach. So then it goes to the depth of it. Ki matzah ze bechinas das. Again, we're going to try and push forward. Ki matzah ze bechinas das. Matzah, the whole concept of matzah is that of intellect. Bechinas moichin, the godless. That matzah, even though it's the flattest thing in the world and it's so not puffed up and it's so not gadol, but the truth is, Rabbi Nachman said once at his Pesach Seder, he held up a piece of matzah, he said, in my hand I hold Elokus. He said, the matzah is godliness. He said, I'm holding it in my hand, my physical hand. So the matzah is this inyan of godliness. Bechinas hashkachos is the ikra das. And he's going to explain why matzah is this. But first he says, chametz bechinas moichin de katnas. Which is counterintuitive because again, chametz is puffed up. It looks gadol. It's the biggest katnas. You know, I once said, I might have said it in this series of shiurim, but I've said it in the past, that I was always wondering, if you think about it, it's the most amazing thing. If you ask, what's the biggest... Okay, let's start like this. There are four levels of physicality. My domim, sameach, chai, and medaber, which means inanimate objects like a rock. And the Sameach is plant life, and then Chai is animal, and the Medaber is human. And the Kuzari, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the other Tzaddikim say that Yehudi or Tzaddik is the fifth level of creation. But classically, there are four. So I was thinking about nature a lot, and I was thinking, you know, the biggest thing physically, the biggest physical object, what would you say is the biggest physical object?
Mountain.
A mountain, right? Like a mountain, Mount Everest. The tallest, it's the highest thing. Now, under that, what's the next biggest thing in physicality?
Tree.
A tree. The tallest redwood, right, in the forest.
Sequoias.
The sequoias, right?
Mamish.
So, it's much, again, the highest tree is shorter than the highest Mount Everest, but it's still taller than the tallest
hill.
Okay, but hill is already mountain, but it's still taller than the tallest animal. So you could have a giraffe that's mamish, way higher than the human, which we're about to get to. But that means that the mountain, the tallest mountain, is higher than the tallest tree. The tallest tree is higher than the tallest animal. The tallest animal is higher than the tallest human.
Where do waterfalls come in?
Lay it down, the water. Water is already an element. I'm talking about the levels of creation. We could talk about water and fire and
water.
Air, but
water brings them all together.
Water is miyachad everything. Water is small. That's de'al adas tashem. But isn't that amazing to say? To think about? That the biggest human is still smaller than the biggest animal. The biggest animal is still smaller than the biggest tree, and the biggest tree is still smaller than the biggest mountain. And I was thinking a lot about this. Why? That's just Matthias. That's Matthias. That's the truth. Why is that so? And I realized that it's the most amazing thing. Because everybody knows that these four levels of creation, in a certain way, draw their chiyas, their life force, from the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the letter of Yud, which is the highest, the closest to Ein Sof, in the Hamshacha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing himself from infinity to express himself into finitude, it begins with the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Mamish, the highest level. That's where Medaber gets his animation, which enables us to emote, which enables us to feel, which enables us to speak, which enables us to do chesed, all the gedarim of what it means to be human according to the different tzaddikim. The next letter is the letter Hey, where things are a little bit more mitzamtzim, things are a little bit more constricted, a little bit less, more removed from that infinite godliness. So that's where animals get their chiyas from, which again, an animal is still a wondrous thing, Mamish wondrous thing. And the Vav is plant life, which is much more limited to the point that it can't speak, it can't interact, it can't move. And then finally you have earth, which is the last hay. So I realized that the less ruchni is animating something, the more the element of gashmis abounds. So that means to say that a human being who has the most godliness physically is the least impressive. The least impressive. The animal that has a little bit less godliness, the physicality is bigger. And then the tree, less godliness, the tree is bigger physically, it's smaller spiritually. And then finally, Mount Everest, it's a gavalt, right? Physically, but the amount of godliness animating it is so null to the point that it can't do anything, it's a rock. And this relates to matzah and chametz as well. Because chametz is puffed up. But what does puffed up in gashmias mean? And ruchni is slacking. And if something is flat as anything in Gashmias, it's bursting with Ruchnias. Okay, so that's what he says here. Chametz abachinas moichin de katnas. Chametz is katnas, it's small. Bachinas elokim. Even though it's big physically, it's puffed up like a loaf of bread. You can't imagine, you know, you see in the world, the Guinness Book of World Records, like the biggest sufganiyar, the biggest unbelievable puffed up, right? This is the dough. But it's katnas. Bachinas elokim, bachinas dinim, kamuva. And he brings all this from the Arisa, the Kavanas. So bachinas chachmas hateva. This is related to the concept of teva, which is constricted, which is lacking the animating force of godliness. Shemisham ikra din avatzaris. That's where all the din comes from in the first place, is teva, is the constriction of godliness. and the concealment of that godliness, kana. Ki hateva begematria elokim, everybody knows that the word hateva, which is the nature, is gematria elokim. Kamuvaz is broad, shemisham achizas hadinim kanal. Because the name of elokim is the name of gvura, that everything din comes from there. And that means to say as well, that if hateva is gematria elokim, so that means that all din is rooted in what? In teva. Which is perceivable to our eyes as being devoid of godliness. Of course, that's not true, as we're going to discuss. Ki chametz evachinas, the pasuk in Tehillim says, what is chametz? Ki yischametz levavi. Says David HaMelech, for a little moment, yischametz levavi, my heart became chametz. Which, what does that mean, that his heart became chametz? Yischametz levavi. It means, shezeh nemar, the mafarshim explain, al kushya shenoyfum la'adam, that David HaMelech was having questions in emunah. So yischametz levavi. Things weren't so clear anymore. And all of a sudden, maybe a little bit of gaiva creeps in, and a person puffs himself up, which means that he's lacking that connection to the godliness which would crush him but enable him to be so much more than he could ever be on his own. Because that's what matzah is, right? It's full of godliness. It's flat as anything, but it's bursting. And that's what it means, humility. The humility is, the more I make myself little, the more I'm making myself a kli for ruchnias. So David HaMelech is yischametz levavi, which means I have questions, which means it's teva, which means I'm falling away from Ashkacha, away from the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world. Which is chachmas ha-teva, shemisham kala kfiris v'kushyas, that from that place, all of the kfiris and all the questions on God come from. So that's chametz. Aval matzah zavachinas das. Matzah is bursting with intellect. Matzah is lamala me'azman. We're going to learn about that. Bechinas emunas hashkacha. Emuna hashkacha, she said ikra adas, which we talked about before, kaniskula el. Ki matza, why is it called matza in the first place? Al shem sheyatzitzu b'chipazim, because they ran out of there so quickly, out of Mitzrayim, v'lehispik abetzeikam shalavesein l'achmitz, because there wasn't time for the bread to rise, if you remember. That's why we eat matza on Pesach in the first place, because they had dough on their backs, which they were preparing for a meal, and it came time to go, and they went. They didn't wait. They said, wait 1 second, we need provisions for the desert. And Rav Nassim's about to say in the next couple of lines, that's the pinnacle of Emunah. One of the biggest shvachim, one of the biggest praises that Hashem has for us, is Zacharti l'chesed mi'urai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the kindness of our youth, which means the dawn of our relationship, which is, what's the kindness of our youth? Lech tech achra b'midbar be'eretz lo yizaruha, is that you followed me blindly, trusting me, into a land, be'eretz lo yizaruha, which you can't plant anything in. That's the pinnacle of Klal Yisrael's emunah. That is what Klal Yisrael is. And on a more personal level, if you want to have in your own life a chesed me'urayah, if you want to begin a relationship with the master of the world and have that inyan of chesed me'urayah, a youthful lover, so the answer is how to start, lech tech achar b'midbar be'eretz lo yizaruha, emunah. Is Emunah. The only way in is Emunah. Emunah is the doorway, because that's what Malchus is. Malchus is Emunah. Malchus is constriction on the level of getting rid of my own das, that the less limigamiklum, that I should make myself into Malchus, make myself into this aspect that I know nothing. Nothing, anything that I can perceive. And the philosophers say that's all we have. All we have is what we can feel. No, you shaita. That's what we don't have. That everything that we feel and everything that I can think that I know, we were talking about that also, tachas idea shaloi neida. It's this negative force, not a positive force. I perceived something new, so I know something more. No, that's another thing now that you don't know. You smell the new smell, so now you know the smell? No. Now you know of something else that you can't possibly know. Because it's all wonder and it's all mystery and it's all godly. I felt something new. No, you didn't. You don't know it now. You didn't perceive it. You felt something that you don't know. So the beginning, the entry point, the malchus, that once I make myself into this aspect of the less limigami klum, I have nothing. That's malchus. Now I can be mekabel al malchus shamayim. Because kol zman that I walk into Rosh Hashanah, or I walk into any tefillah where I'm supposed to be mekabel al malchus shamayim, and I say that I'm something and also God is something, doesn't go. It doesn't go. Unless I'm willing to give my own plan for my life up, that I have nothing. Rabbanu Shalom, all I have is you. All I have is Kfoyd Alekim. That's what it is. That Rav Kook says, the essence of tshuva is to return to Kfoyd Alekim. To live a life of Kfoyd Alekim, that every single action that I do, that every decision that I make is bursting with the honor of God. Because it's bursting with my own honor. It's already Kfoyd Malachim. Chakar Davar. Nachman talks about in Parabav, that's already something else. not where that the opposite of tshuva. The opposite of tshuva. And Menachem says in Tar Yud Beis in Tanyana, and get me back to Amunah's the doorway. But in Tar Yud Beis in Tanyana, Menachem says, now we'll read it inside because I have a little bit open here. Rabbi Nachman says the following unbelievable line. Listen to this. The Ikra Yahadus, the pinnacle, the essence of Judaism, who rak lelech betmimus upshitas, is to go with simplicity with a lack of sophistication. Which, in simpler terms, is to go with anivos. To get myself out of the picture. Belishim chachmas. Without any sort of sophistication, without any sort of plans, without any sort of chachma of koich vo'itzim yadi asli as a chayel azeh. Ulistakel v'chol davar sha'oisa, and make sure that in everything that you do, shiyas sham Hashem yizbarach, that God is present in that action. Which is a very high level. Extremely high level. If you were to ask me in my own life, I can't answer for anybody else, but what percentage of my daily actions are taken up? Let me say what he says, and then I'll finish that thought. Shiyas sham Hashem yizbarach, that a person needs to see to it that God is present in the action, and in this decision. Not to think about your own kavod, your own honor. Not to seek that you should go ahead and to try and try and build yourself up for yourself's sake. So he says, hey, Yidin, you want to make decisions? I'll tell you how to do it. If this is going to bring about a revelation of godliness in the world, and the kvod Hashem in your life and in the world at large, if this decision is going to magnify the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the honor and the revelation of godliness in the world, yes, then do it. V'im lav, and if not, lav. That's it. That's the essence of Judaism. You are Baal B'chira. You're sent in the world to make decisions to either increase the covet of Hashem or to decrease the covet of Hashem. Zehu. That's the whole thing. V'az bevadai lo yikash lo'olam. Rabbi Nachman promises, he says, if you'll follow in this way, to live your life on this level, that every action that I make, I have to quickly think through these two options. Is this being marbek v'et shemayim, or is it marbek v'et atzmi? Says Rabbi Nachman, you go in this path, bevadei lo yikasha la'olam. Of course, if you're making the right decisions, lo yikasha la'olam, you'll never stumble. You'll never stumble. You will reach your tafkid, you will live a life that's ashracha bo'olam hazeh v'toyv l'cholam haba. This is the doorway in, is emunah. Is to get myself out of the way and to open up everything that I think that I know to say it exists, because that's the world that we perceive, but it's just the guf, the gabi, the neshama of the animating life force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's filling everything. And the more that I live my life in tune with that life force that's animating everything, the more my world will be mamish alive. The more my world will be unified, the more my world will be focused toward the kula toy kula echad. So I started saying before, if I think through my day today, how many things, you know, what percentage of my actions were kvoy chamay? Shreklach, right? It's terrible to think about. Think that you eat, think that you say, think that you listen to, think that you watch. Okay, again, not everything is bad, and the Baal Tanya, you know, is magder everything in the world to either the shosh klibas atmeis legamri, like the really bad isser things, and then chashmal, which is the highest levels of Kedusha, and the most of life is lived in this place of Klipas Noiga, where, you know, everything is in between. It's not Mamash Asr, but it's not a mitzvah, you know, it's sort of in between. And the question is what you do with it. So it's not, you know, we're not all Rishon now. But the question is, are we living on this pinnacle level of Avodas Hashem? What percentage of our lives are Kfod Atzmi? What percentage of our lives are Kfod Hashem Yisbarach? And the deepest secret, and this is already Tara Vav talk, which in Meretz Hashem is the next book in this series on the Kutramanas Tara Vav, which also I have a series of shiurim on, that's the first thing that I gave, remember that? All the way in the beginning. that the secret of Tara Vav is that a person can be doing externally something that looks like it's Kvod Atzmi, and the truth is that it's Kvod Shemayim. Because it's all tali on the intention. It's all tali on the intention. And I think that we give a mashal over there, that if the king issues an edict, issues a decree, and somebody goes running out into the street and saying, so says the king, you know, and he reads through it. Does anybody look at him and say, who gave him permission? Who does he think he is to be carrying out the edict of the king, this and that? So the question is, how does he view himself? If he views himself and he does it with pomp and fanfare, look at me, that there's the king, but then there's also me, and I get to bring his message to the world. So then it's kvod malachim. And chakar davar, the Pasuk of Mishlei says, everybody's going to start being chayker, because people could pick up on that. This guy's doing it for his own covet. And they could pick up on it, and it's not going to go. It's not going to go. But if the messenger is buttled to the message, if the messenger is buttled to the king, so then it's not an Indian of kvod asmi. It's an Indian of, I'm nothing. I'm just a messenger. Rabbi Nachman also gives a mashal. I don't know if he gives a mashal or the other tzaddik can give a mashal for this. He says, if a king goes ahead and he gives two servants two different jobs, one of them, his job is to go and pick up a new diamond for, you know, his treasury, and the other one has to go and pick up a new washing machine for the king. So on one level, the one that he sent to get a diamond, wow, look what a high thing that is. Look, it's so precious that he goes to get a diamond. And the other one is, it's just to wash the clothes. That's on one level. On another level, on a more broad level, on a chachma level, they're both messengers of the king. Who cares what the personal mission of each one is? They're both equally precious to the king. The king needs the washing machine just like he needs the diamond, probably more. So it doesn't make a difference what our mission is. The question is, are we mevutal to the messenger? Not to chas v'shalom take the message and run with it. Kvod elokim, kvod malachim. And this is all of Yiddishkeit, to make these decisions. And this is the entry point, to begin with a lechtech achra b'midbar. You want to have a chesed u'rayach, to rekindle the love, the passion of a relationship with the master of the world? Lechtech achra b'midbar. Get yourself out of the picture. Run into the desert with the dough baking on your back and say, it's Eretz Lezeru, I don't know how I'm eating lunch tomorrow, but that's perfectly okay with me. Because God says, and I do. That's it. That's it. So that's what happens. The chametz here, we're coming to the end. So matzah is the Indian of das. Matzah is the Indian al shein sheyatzu b'chipazayin, that they ran out super quickly. And the matzah didn't turn into chametz. Until the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yalla, it's time for redemption. Shenemar, v'yavuos habatzek asher yitziu b'mitzrayim ugois matzah. The pasuk in Shemai says that the dough that had been taken out of Mitzrayim, baked into ugois matzahs, baked into these thin crackers. Why? Ki lo chametz. It had no time to turn into chametz. Ki garshu mimitzrayim. They were driven out of Egypt, both by the Mitzrayim and by the divine decree, which is the same thing. The v'layachlu liyismameh. They couldn't wait a second. The gam seid liyasalem. They didn't take any provisions. Says Reb Nosson, you know what this is? Ki lehem emuna. This is the highest level of emuna. Va'ashkachas Hashem izbarach. Va'kei loyvinu lehem shum seid. V'yatzu b'chipazim. And they went out quickly. Nimsa. So that's what matzah is. Shematzah b'chinas das. Matzah represents this Indian of emuna, of das, of ashkacha, of connection to the animating life force. That even though on a teva level I have no lunch tomorrow, but on an emuna level, on an ashkacha level, on a olam haba de kenisim level, on a tefila level, I have everything I need. Shalamuna ashkacha. She says ikar gedula das. This is what das is. Because she's zochin leiskalos elikus. When you're zoche to this revelation of godliness within your heart, liris v'leida, to see. He says, to see, not to believe, to see. Because this is the physical world that we said before can either be a Malchus HaKadusha or a Malchus HaSitra Achra. It depends on your eyes. Depends on the way we looked at it. We learned last time that this is a Bechina Pagame Naim. Right? Shmir Seinayim means not just Shmir Seinayim, don't look at what you shouldn't look at. Look at things properly. Look at things with the right eyes. That's Shmir Seinayim. I mean, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'sechazena einenu b'shub chalitziyim b'rachamim. Let our eyes see it. Because trust me, Hashem will be bringing us back and there will be people who don't see it. And I think that that's happening now already. I think it's happening now. The Medrash says that the Gula is coming kima kima. One ray at a time. Like the sun rises, a little bit, one ray at a time. Okay, not getting into big machlekes now, but coming back to the Holy Land after 2,000 years. And the spread of Hasidus far and wide, like Yafutza Menasecha Achutza, Achi, we're living in Gula at times. You have to have the right eyes. There are some people who are not Zochot V'Sechazen Einenu. And they're living in Gullus, Betoik of Agullus, like 500 years ago. And then there are Gula Yidin, who have the Sechazen Einenu eyes. Why do we have to daven for that then? Let our eyes see it. It'll happen, you'll see it. No, it's not so simple. Because it could happen, and you could have not have Shemir Sinai. Could happen, and you can be disconnected from the animating life force that's running everything from the Ashkacha and everything to say, oh, it's Teva, it's Mikra, oh, 6-day war, yeah, it just happened that way. Teva eyes. V'leida sha'ar kol ba'ashkachas, sha'ar ba'ashkachas yisbarach. So you have these eyes to see and therefore to know sha'ar kol ba'ashkachas yisbarach levan zebachinas chipazon. This means chipazon. Ki chipazon zebachinas lamala me'azman. What's the Indian that they went out so quickly? The whole Indian of going out quickly is a bechina of lamala me'azman. They went out so quickly, it just didn't make sense. Can you imagine they had to get Jews, thousands of Jews from the whole land of Mitzrayim, and they did it in a flash? He says, Shadilik ala kates vaitzim l'kipazin gadol. Belishon's man didn't take time. Barberega achas b'shokala. That's it. They went out right away. Baum Ramses l'sukas v'neskapsi yachah b'shokala. It took a couple of seconds. Sheish meas elef b'chol eretz Mitzrayim that were scattered throughout the whole land of Egypt. They came together right away and they said, "Okay, we're standing at the border." Can you imagine trying to collect, forget about America, but collect all the Jews from Israel and have them standing at one side of the land? You know how long that would take? And they have to call up reserves for the army. They give them hours to make it, right? Over here it happened, pitom. That's it. All clients will stand over the gates. They're ready to go. B'shar kalam, sheish meyas elef, mikol eretz Mitzrayim kam eshapiras Rashi. Rashi says this explicitly, apasik, v'esas chama kamfi nesharim, eagle's wings. It was yashar. It was lamala me'azman, the teva. And I could spend the next hour talking about this, but I won't. I'll have mercy on you. But I'll just say it in a nekuda, and then we'll come back next week and talk about it. The whole concept of time is relative to space. There's no space, there's no time. Time only exists because there's things of space. Which means to say, what's time? Time is measured in the way that, for example, on a begadol level, the way that the planets interact with each other. Because there's space, because there's things that are moving, so movement takes time. If I have a car, which is a physical item, and I need to move from point A to point B, and I have makom in which to move, I need to measure that some way. Really, time is an illusion, right? Time is an illusion. We don't know what was kaidem, what was acher, we don't know. But because we need to measure the movements of physical things, so there's time. Because it takes this thing to move from point A to point B, X amount of time. But if there's no physicality, there's no need for time. No need for time, because there's nothing to measure. It's all relative. There's nothing to measure against anything else. That guy needs the depth of it now. But this is mamash what's happening here. Things of space is teva is seven. Things of space take time. But the whole inyan of Geulas Mitzrayim, which is mishaber teva, which is the inyan of matzah, which is the inyan of emunah, of ashkacha, of all the different mechinas that we said, mamash, b'chatzois halayla, the b'char, right? Everything that we talked about until now. It takes no time. It's b'chatzois. It takes a second. It's being revealed from the end of time, which is Yom Shekulay Aruch, that every person who's Mechabit Shabbos is Zocha to what? Nachla, B'li Meitzarim, because he's connecting to the Olam Haba, it's Me'in Olam Haba, B'li Meitzarim, infinite. So the whole Geula from Mitzrayim, which is exactly everything that we've been discussing, which is a Geula from Teva, which is a Geula of the Ma'eda, a Geula of lack of understanding, a lack of Das, a lack of seeing with the right eyes, of Pagami Nayim. So how does that come about? B'chipazin comes about with this flash of Mimala Mezman. Because it's coming from a place that's above space, above Teva, above the Shemaim and the Art. It's coming from a place of Bihibarim, of Ba'avraham, of Avraham that was hikir, that the flames that were burning the world into Pira is unified by the Baal Pira. And Ritz Hashem, next year, we'll continue in this piece, but I think that Chaz Hashem, I was so lucky. Ashreinu. Thank you so much.